Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Clint, you are here for MS 101. Now, this is like the orientation thing for Microsoft, but did they actually have like the Temple of Doom thing where they gave you Kool-Aid that like you were like forced to drink? Can you confirm or deny?
It wasn't a Kool-Aid. It was a fountain that we all jumped into.
That sounds almost religious.
Nice.
So, this picture is, I'm assuming, of you in the Blair Witch Project on a boat.
Oh, that's him getting ready to jump into the fountain.
Oh yeah. Here at Microsoft, we're very safety conscious.
Nice.
So, even though it was, 6 inches of water, I'll drown in 6 inches of water.
Nice.
You would. So, let's get into it.
Yes.
SQL Server 2008.
I love this new logo. Check that out.
Yeah. So, I think they stole it from DNA. Is that what that is?
I think it's stolen from the game company, or from XNA.
Ah, okay.
Got the nice little mesh.
All right.
But SQL Server RC0 is out.
Yes. And the big thing is it requires Visual Studio 2008 SP1. So if you want things like link to entities, you actually have to install that SP1, which actually breaks a bunch of other things. So just be careful. Don't install it on your
And if your you home want Team Edition for database professionals to work, you have to install, what are they calling it? Team Edition for database professionals 2008 GDR. But there's a CTP of that GDR out, so that'll work with SQL Server 2008.
And GDR means Grateful Dead, right? I mean, that's
yes,
why they...
Yes, exactly. Okay. No, it's a general distribution release, which, long story, but essentially you can think of that kind of as a service pack.
Okay.
Yep.
I do have to ask, why is it RC0? Shouldn't it be RC1?
VB versus C#? I don't know.
Okay.
So we don't know if anybody can actually find out why some... Because I've seen a lot of teams do their first RC release candidate, and they call it RC1. Why this one's called RC0, we don't know. So,
I don't know. Why not RC null?
Yeah. Yeah, they should put some sort of formula in there.
Yep.
All right, so another cool thing, and this was released by the data team, is codename Velocity. So for people familiar with sites like Facebook, like New York Times, Wikipedia, they use this thing. The reason those sites can scale is they use... open source thing called, or software called Memcache, which acts as like a fast cache. So it's not actually hitting like, let's say a MySQL database. Everything's in this in-memory cache, and that cache is distributed out to, you could have 20 machines, and then each machine just views this cache, and it just thinks it's a local cache, but really it's doing all the communication stuff between there.
So it's like a distributed RAM drive? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Okay. It's basically a distributed cache. As long as your CLR class is serializable, you can now have it scale and have copies of the cache, and as that's updated, and even pessimistic locking across the cache. So a bunch of cool stuff. The other thing is session state. So if you want scalable session state in ASP.NET, you can actually use Velocity for that as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so this is like easy mode for scalability, dude. This is super easy.
Sweet.
Yeah, so free download, check it out.
So Windows Live Writer just released a brand new SDK, and being a huge advocate of Windows Live Writer, the cool thing is that the SDK tech preview includes examples like updating Twitter when you post, so now all my awesome friends can totally see about my blog posts. And then it also can do dig examples. Alec, hopefully I'm pronouncing your first name correctly, created a demo that does post templates. So if you want to follow a certain format, it will automatically, you click that and it fills it in automatically.
Yeah, so I love the idea of having a post template. Like when we do coding for fun, like we have a certain template, mm-hmm. and right now it's kind of, cruddy, but you can have a template so that way you can just like fill in a form for a blog post. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. And speaking of LiveWriter, what were the two add-ins that you recommended?
I recommended the code snippet, which is actually on the screenshot here behind me, and then the Flickr plugin.
Oh, that's
because
right.
Because I love Flickr. I use Flickr for my data source.
And
for
that's where
images.
We found that picture of you jumping into 6 inches of water.
Nice. So, Baby Smash.
Yeah.
So, I follow Scott Hanselman's blogs and his Twitter Twitter feeds and everything, and he's been talking about this baby smash thing. I thought it was a first-person shooter. They, like, go in and, like, shoot babies or something. I was jazzed about it, but no,
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, we're calling security.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants a first-person shooter to kill babies?
It's a game. But
do you really need games to be that easy? Like, our first
There's lots of them, and they're screaming. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Okay.
So anyway, but Baby Smash, I guess it's inspired by another application that's available for the Mac, but basically takes your computer and it locks it down so that if a baby or anyone else really comes up and starts hitting keys on it, it just puts a bunch of shapes and stars and all sorts of stuff on the screen. So Scott's been using WPF to write this, and it just showed up on Lifehacker, so pretty cool. And he's starting to post videos of people that are filming their babies playing these games, and it's I gotta say, it's pretty cute. Yeah.
So. Best of all, it's actually all open source on CodePlex also.
Oh, sweet.
So yeah, if
and
you
he's doing
to download it.
Tutorials, how to learn WPF by building Baby Smash.
And I'm hoping he's gonna do one on how to turn it into a first person shooter, because I still think that's a cool idea.
I think that's the sequel. So congrats, Scott, though, for being on Lifehacker.
Yes.
That's very cool. All right, so a couple videos posted, a couple of Channel 9 bites. First one is Drew Robbins.
Of course.
Yes.
My manager.
Yes.
Gotta highlight him. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Great man.
Yes.
And handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Handsome.
Very
man.
Smart.
Yes. Showing off the IS7 admin pack. So we'll go to the clip in a second, but the cool part to me is obviously you get a great reporting. You get ability to play with your database. And then the last part is actually scripting out web.config changes, and it'll script it out as C#. So I have a config that I want to run on my production machine. Mm-hmm. I can actually script out those changes, and it'll do the insert update, if you will, within code, in much the same way you would in SQL. So some pretty cool stuff, and this is a free download. So let's go to the clip.
Sweet.
The first part of administration pack that I'm going to show you is IIS Reports. What I have here is IIS Manager open, and I've got my default website selected. And here in the Features area, you'll see the IIS Reports feature. So I'm going to double-click on that IIS Reports, and you'll see right away it gives you some data about the various requests that have come into the server. These are the status code reports. We also have a whole list of reports here that can get things like user agent, users, time taken, client machine, all the things that you would expect from a reporting engine. So you can run these reports, you can get graph reports, pie graph reports, bar graph reports, all kinds of different views on the data. The second module that's part of the administration pack is the database manager. This database manager allows you to manipulate your database through IIS Manager. Because IIS Manager can be used against remote servers, you can use this for both local and your remote databases. So it makes it really nice for hosting scenarios to have a way to manipulate your database online. So what I have here is my membership database, and I can go in here and modify tables. I can change their design. I can get at the data. I can do all the things that you would normally have to go into the SQL Server Manager for. So the last area in the administration pack that I want to show you is this thing called the Configuration Editor. Now the Configuration Editor, what this allows you to do is go through any part of the IIS or your application configuration and look directly at the schema and then edit the properties in a properties view type mode. But there's a hidden feature in the administration pack that a lot of people have not known about so far, and that is the ability to generate scripts. So let's actually make a change here. Here's my app settings. Let's just make a change to this file app setting, and we'll just type in something simple like test. Instead of applying this right away, I have this option here to generate a script. When I click on generate script, you'll see that it actually generates the C# code for making these changes to the server. So now I can either apply this at a later time or apply it to a different server box.
Or as part of a build process.
Absolutely. Or as part of the build process, as part of my regular deployment process. So I can do that in C#. It generates in JavaScript. It also generates it using the command line utility for IIS. So this is, again, all in administration pack. You can go out and download this today from www.iis.net.
Awesome. Thanks, Drew.
No problem.
All right, really cool stuff. Nice video, Drew.
Yeah, very nice. Now, the other cool part is Luke, Luke's always got some cool demos.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things he did was using F-sharp to visualize data. And I don't know if you know this, but I actually interviewed Bill Gates.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really? No idea. Yes. Yeah.
See, I'm glad
been telling
I told
us,
you guys.
Like, nonstop.
But he said he was looking to learn F-sharp to see, use it for some of the data visualizations.
Oh, for his foundation, right?
For his foundation, exactly right. So this is a demo of Luke showing how to visualize data using F-sharp and the F-sharp interpreter. So let's take a look.
So we have here the F-sharp interactive window is the window we have down the bottom inside Visual Studio. And this window allows us to just execute F-sharp code dynamically. So we can type in 1 plus 1 and tells us the result is 2. So in this demo, we get to use that to do some cool visualization using F-sharp. So I can select blocks of code and just hit Alt-Enter to create some user interface. So I create a simple form, and then I create a DirectX renderer using Manage DirectX. Oops. And we see we get like a sort of grid there to render onto. Then we can use some F-sharp features to just build up some basic data structures that we can use for describing what the view looks like. So in this case, we used an F-sharp record. And then we can go on and add some event handling. So let me just move this out of the way quickly so we can see what that looks like. So we want to add the ability for the mouse to control where the screen is looking. So we can select this code that hooks up the mouse. And now when we go over here, we can just easily move around the screen.
Cool.
This is all done doing some basic F-sharp constructs using pattern matching and the let statement, which is very fundamental in F-sharp, and using events, like standard .NET events to hook everything up. So then now we've got a basic screen where we can draw things on. Let me just grab some code to define a function and a mesh to draw it on. I'm just selecting code and hitting Alt-Enter, and you'll see it's executing it down here in the F-sharp interactive. And now let me add that into the scene. So now we've defined a simple function. This is actually the function from above that this function here. So it says, you know, function of x and y that plots x times 1 minus y. Just a simple mathematical function. And we got a nice pretty picture of what that looks like. Now we can just change that function. So we can, in this case, plot, you know, square root of x minus 0.5 times square root of y minus 0.5. Get a nice little shape there. And of course, we can do something more interesting, like make the function depend on time. So in this case, you see the function takes t. And in this particular one, we use the t inside the function. So it draws a nice wavy,
awesome,
wavy scene. And we could do something more interesting, go and make it a ripple, doing some more complicated code. So here, we actually define intermediate results inside the definition of our function. And this is sort of similar to what you might see if you were to see this function written up in a math textbook or something. And so this allows you a very easy way of taking concepts which you see out in the world and bringing them into F-sharp and then using the interactive to plot them and do some cool graphing.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks, Luke.
Super cool stuff. So another thing that happened this past week is there was a new CodePlex project talking about Team Foundation Server templates. So one of the things that you can do in Team Foundation Server is you can build your own process template that defines the workflow for work items, just defines even the types of work items and what those work items look like, the way that those work items move from person to person, and they can be closed and set to different states. And so Templex is a place for people to come together and collaborate on process templates. There's a lot of process templates out there already, but I found that working with customers, every team has its own kind of unique way of doing things. And so the process templates, even though you can customize them, they can take a little bit of work to get them to be exactly the way that you want. So hopefully this CodePlex project will get some critical mass, and people will start, you know, building some really even cooler templates for Team Foundation Server.
So the idea here is like to get the community involved. One, make it easy for them to build a process template,
mm-hmm.
and then two, to share different templates. So.
Right.
Okay.
So if you want to do feature-driven development with Team Foundation Server, there's a couple out there, but let's come up with some more variants and some different customizations and options and tools on top of those templates are another popular thing that the customers want. So check out the CodePlex project.
Now, is there like a lolcat process or anything like that? Or
Well, I'm not supposed to make any announcements, but stay tuned to PDC.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will. CodePlex.
Speaking of CodePlex.
Okay. Speaking of CodePlex.
You copy-paste code all the time.
Script kidding.
Maybe. If I can find it on the internet. So the cool thing of now is it's the number two requested feature, I believe, for improvements on CodePlex. And before, if you were to view the source repository for a project, it would all be in black and white, not very intuitive for someone that's used to seeing the code.
We're spoiled.
I know.
We love our colors and syntax highlighting.
Yeah, everyone likes the syntax highlighting. So now this is built into the new version of CodePlex that was just pushed out.
Yeah.
So now if you choose not to use LiveWriter's cool little plugin, I love the code snippet thing. I'll plug it again.
Okay.
Clink gets $1 every time someone uses that.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So up next, we have Camp Space.
Yeah. So X-Gamer pointed this out, and this had been in, I guess, TechCrunch, and now it's, like, climbing like crazy. But X-Gamer thought this is something Microsoft should buy. So I think the best thing is to actually show what this is to go to the clip. So let's show a clip of it in action.
Intergalactic planetary intergalactic intergalactic
If we only had some budget on this show, we could actually do some really cool effects and make that go back and forth. But how cool is that, Cam Space?
Yeah, you're going to get it after the show. So very cool. Very cool. I want to play with this. And so best part is this is going to be free forever. So that's at least gives us 6 months to play with it.
Hopefully they'll release a source for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of motion tracking and open source, is there's iTrack, which is on Code Project. So it's a project to do real-time tracking of your human eyes with a guy with some really scary eyes.
Yeah, I guess if he wanted to track his green glowing eyes. I guess.
I know.
Wow, geez. And is that like a tattoo he has, or?
Wow. I think it's a box.
So does this use? We talked about a similar the hand motion a few weeks ago using aForge.net. Do you know if this uses aForge under the covers or?
I don't.
Regrettably, I do not know.
Okay. Way to research those stories, Clint.
This is the worst. This is the last time you were going to be on here.
But that brings us into Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. So you writing songs now?
I am. I'm improovising.
Nice.
Oh, yeah!
Kool-Aid Man's
gonna
break
for Duff Man now?
I was going to say Kool-Aid Man, but...
We got to have this guy break through.
So what's your pick of the
week? So my Pick of the Week is a little self-plug for coding for fun is Gary Farr. Released Retro Command, which is a clone of Missile Command using Silverlight and Express Blend 2.5. So he goes step by step on how to recreate this classic game in Silverlight. And it's a free download, free source code. You're more than welcome to download it, try it. All the tools that you need to use this are free, and so anyone can use it.
Yeah, it's certainly good stuff. And for those of you who don't know, Clint is actually content strategist.
Primary
blogger on Coding for Fun.
Nice.
So, and that should be Expression Blend, too.
Man, I love Missile Command. I waste so much time playing that game.
Oh, really?
Defender and...
So many quarters.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had an Atari, so... But,
ooh,
yeah.
Look at me. I was so cool.
Hey, you know.
Wow.
So my pick of the week.
Yeah?
This is Show Off. I just found this on the PDC 2008 website. So, okay, this is also a shameless self-promotion.
You
but,
people are terrible.
Anyone who went to PDC 2005 or Mix 2008 knows about the Show Off concept. So the idea is that you can build something really cool, like the crayon physics that showed up at
Amazing.
Mix 2008.
Amazing.
And then you can submit a 3-minute video. Dan and I are the judges this year, so we'll be picking. Actually, we're not the judges. We're the ones who
are hosting
it.
So that means I want to wear tuxedos, like one of those long tuxedos, and be on stilts.
All right, we're already over budget.
Okay.
but there's prizes. You can submit your video, and then you get judged by your peers, essentially, on how cool it is.
Yeah, so start submitting videos.
Yeah, so
you
that's
can find the full
MicrosoftPDC.com.
Perfect. Now, unlike you guys, shameless self-promoters, I'm trying to help the community on my pick of the week.
Nice.
By posting about my blog. And so at TechEd, and I was there for a Bill Gates interview.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What interview?
Don't worry about it. You're fired anyways. I did a Coding for Fun talk, and I had to program things like iTunes, peer-to-peer, mm-hmm. or World of Warcraft. So the demos are now up there, and slides as well.
And all your demos worked?
All my demos worked,
That's
yes.
awesome.
I know. Which it was a small miracle.
Yeah.
So it means like I'm going to get in like a terrible car accident tonight.
Nice.
Speaking of, that's all the time we have.
Speaking of, all right.
So thank you, Clint.
Thank you for letting me come.
Yeah. And thanks, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. Ready?
You've become such a prima donna. It used to be so easy to work with.
So hard finding good talent.
Hasn't he? He's just like...
I feel like I'm in between a married couple right now.